Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Pitiful is a word I don't often use in normal conversation. What about you? Pitiful is a word I very rarely use when referring to anything in the Bible. But could pitiful be a word God often uses when looking at our planet Earth and specifically our human race? Pause for a few seconds and join me in imagining what God sees as he looks out through the farthest reaches of space and all the fantastic galaxies he has created and sustains. Do you think God smiles looking at the galaxies? And what is the look on God's face as he looks at our planet, especially the fantastic underwater world? Have you ever done any snorkeling or scuba diving? And what is the look on God's face as God looks at the great snow-capped mountain ranges or fantastic waterfalls or huge forests he has created? And finally, what is the look on God's face as he looks at the huge cities of our world or the remote villages, but especially when God looks into the hearts of our human race in 2025? In our grand narrative journey, we've come today to what I call a pitiful portion of the human story God has written as he has watched us. Yesterday, we were amazed at how God called, strengthened, and used a young man named Gideon to lead a strategic deliverance of the people of Israel, living traumatized by Midianite terrorists in that generation, Judges chapter 6 through 8. Following that remarkable rescue of God, the Israelites lived in relative peace for about 40 years. But when Gideon died and no trustworthy leader came forward, this is God's analysis of what happened. No sooner had Gideon died than the Israelites again prostituted themselves to the Baal idols. They set up Baal-berith as their god and did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Judges chapter 8. Now, in my view, that's pitiful. The very next generation after Gideon's death turned their backs on God. Maybe pitiful is too kind. Perhaps the better word is despicable. And yet, that's the story. Generation after generation, all around the world, with our human race. Despicable, would you agree? But sadly, things got even worse in Israel, for the next statement God makes is this. They also failed to show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, in spite of all the good things he had done for them. Judges 8, verse 35. You may recall Gideon had been challenged by God to tear down his father's altar and idol of the false god Baal as evidence that Gideon was first challenging his own father's failed spiritual leadership, then challenging the false god Baal, and thirdly, calling the people to spiritual revolt, turning away from Baal to follow the God of Israel by fighting against the Baal-worshipping Midianites. Judges chapter 6. The people gave Gideon the name Jerubbaal that day, meaning he who contends with Baal, as they watched to see if the idol god Baal would retaliate in any way against Gideon. Of course, nothing dreadful happened to Gideon. Interestingly, that name Jerubbaal was never again used for Gideon until near his death and the pitiful mess of Judges chapter 9. It's a hard-to-read chapter. So much bloodshed and evil in Israel, even among the sons of Gideon, who vied for leadership after the death of their heroic father, Gideon. But I notice the evil is rooted in Gideon's family problems, stemming from his polygamous lifestyle, and even his infidelity with a concubine, Judges chapter 8. As I reflect on this, I'm drawn back to Gideon's father, and his spiritual failure, having built his own altar to Baal with an Asherah pole next to it, in abandonment and blasphemy of the God of Israel. Judges chapter 6. Sexual immorality was a hallmark of Baal and Ashtoreth worship and lifestyle. Gideon, therefore, grew up in a spiritually, morally, and sexually dysfunctional family which followed wicked Baal practices. While God awakened in Gideon a courage to destroy his father's idols and obediently lead warriors in battle against the wicked Midianites, I see little evidence that Gideon experienced a genuine spiritual revival in his heart. He evidently did not break the generational curse of his father's idol-worshipping immorality, for Gideon had 70 sons, and we presume several daughters, with many wives, and one son, Abimelech, with a concubine, according to Judges chapter 8. After Gideon's death, the despicable violence and bloodshed involving those 71 sons spilled out on the pages of Judges chapter 9. And I warn you, it's very hard to read. It's beyond pitiful, beyond despicable. It's nothing less than unbridled wickedness in Israel. And I believe God included these chapters in his grand narrative as a great warning to all people about how easy it is to fall back into deep darkness even after a great victory with God. Lest we close today in such despair, three generations later in Judges chapter 10, I find remorse and shame has overtaken the Israelites living in such despicable despair, and they cry out to God with these words, "We have sinned, O God. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord God, and God could bear Israel's misery no longer. Judges chapter 10, verse 15 and 16. Oh my, isn't that a remarkable statement? God's love for his people and his broken heart, which had watched generation after generation living in such pitiful, despicable despair and pain, could not resist the cries of his people. Oh friends, aren't you so glad God is a loving, compassionate, forgiving God, always ready to hear the repentant cries of people drowning in their sinful rebellion? Was that you once upon a time? Let's spend some time worshiping and thanking God for his extreme love for us, as best evidenced in his sending Jesus to live in the pitifulness of our world, and then Jesus actually giving his life so we might be delivered to a whole new life, living a joyful, grateful, transformed, God-honoring life.